is my very great fortune to welcome all of you to Srila Prabhupada's Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir tonight. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful verse which describes the nature of great personalities. The predominant quality is their forgiveness, their compassion, their willingness to suffer, to help others, and their complete faith and devotion to the service of the Lord. This verse explains that the great rishis who imbibe these qualities, they worship the age of Kali above all other ages. Satyuga is the age where practically 100% of the population are devotees of the Lord. Because of their piety and devotion, there's practically never suffering or disease. There's prosperity everywhere. And as the ages progress, the good qualities decrease and the miseries of material existence increase. Through Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. The Iron Age, where people are irreligious, misguided, addicted to sense gratification, have practically no capacity for real austerity, where there's so many bogus religious teachers, cheating religions, and materialism is rampant everywhere. Kali Yuga began approximately 5,000 years ago. Left this planet. Because in the presence of Krishna, Kali had no place. When Maharaj Parikshit was emperor, although it was the age of Kali, Kali could have no influence on anyone because he was such an empowered devotee of the Lord ruling the world. But from the time of Parikshit Maharaj's demise, when he went back home, back to Godhead, Kali has been perpetually plundering the consciousness of all living beings within the world. In Satyayuga, the average lifespan was 100,000 years. In Kali Yuga, very, very rare that anyone could even live to a meager, insignificant 100 years. And we see, although man is very proud of his scientific achievements, technological progress, how the very quality of life is degenerating morally and spiritually. Kali Yuga is progressing, and with it we will suffer more and more terrible catastrophes. So why the most compassionate, loving souls worship the age of Kali as the greatest of all times? Kaler dosa nide rajan asti hek mahan guna ketana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param brajet. Where there's the greatest need, there's the greatest opportunity for mercy. If you give a rich person a bowl of rice, is that mercy? If it's prasad, it's mercy. Because spiritually, the man is probably poverty-stricken. But if you give a person that's starving a bowl of rice, although he has nothing to give you in return, that is considered mercy. The source of all mercy is Krishna. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu. He's an ocean of mercy. And from that mercy, so many little rivers and so many little tributaries are coming. In this age of Kali, no one has any real qualifications. Therefore, Krishna extends his most munificent compassion and love to all. Through the Yuga Dharma, propagated by the Yuga Avatar. In Satya Yuga, to realize God, minimum 60,000 years in a solitary place, total control of your mind and senses, celibacy. Very difficult. In Kali Yuga, we cannot even do that for 1 minute. Therefore, Krishna gives the same result as 60,000 years of meditation for anyone who simply takes as his life and soul the simple, sublime process of chanting the holy names of Krishna. And in this age of Kali, the Supreme Lord incarnates in a form that is more merciful than any other form. Krishna himself appears in the guise of his devotee to freely give pure unalloyed love of Krishna, that same love that is shared by the residents of Vrindavan, the highest plane of spiritual existence. And once in a day of Brahma, in the age of Kali, the original form of Krishna appears in this world to taste the sweetness of the nectar of his own Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. To taste that ecstasy and to give it freely to others. And the process by which we can achieve that is Kevala Ananda Kanda, chanting, dancing, and feasting. Simply joyful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give what no other incarnation has ever given. The highest prema, or love, freely. Therefore, Kali Yuga is the most worshipable of all ages. Because where there is the greatest necessity, there is the greatest mercy. And also, the process of chanting Hare Krishna is very simple. But unless you cry out the name like a helpless child calling out for its mother, Krishna will not reciprocate in his fullness. The consciousness in which we chant will attract a particular quantity of Krishna's compassion and mercy upon us. So Kali Yuga is a time where there's so many miseries, so many dangers, that any sane person who has some sumedasha, some good intelligence, will very, very sincerely, helplessly, desperately cry out the holy names of God. As Kali Yuga progresses, things get worse. By the end of Kali Yuga, if you live till 20 years old, you are considered a grand old man or lady. There'll be nothing to eat. People will resort to eating their own children just to survive. Because due to sinful activities, material nature will give no rains, no plants, no anything. So tonight, all over this great planet Earth, people are wishing each other Happy New Year. New Year means 1 year deeper into Kali Yuga. That's all. So really, they're saying Happy New Year, but things are getting worse every year. But for devotees, it actually is a Happy New Year. Because with every year, we are given a greater opportunity to perfect our lives by taking shelter of the mercy of the Yuga Avatar, by performing the Yuga Dharma. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained that as Kali Yuga progresses, the whole world is influenced more and more by Western culture. India is the land of Dharma. The further west you go, the more people are in illusion of the real principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. And people become more and more attached to sense gratification. And they base their codes of ethics and morality on sense gratification. And we see how Western dress, Western music, Western forms of entertainment is literally crippling the Vedic culture. It has been said, and we have seen with our own eyes, that what the Islamic rulers could not do in breaking the spirit of Vedic culture in something like 800 years, what the British could not do in breaking the spirit of Vedic culture in several hundred years? American television has succeeded in doing in hardly a decade. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained the purpose of Krishna consciousness movement is to crush Western materialistic ideologies and establish renunciation, devotion, and knowledge as the foundation of life within society. Because then there can be real happiness. Chase after the West. You get the pleasures, but you also get the other side of the coin. You cannot take the heads without the tails. You get the technology, get the science, but what do you take with it? 71% divorce rate. And that's what's official. Many do not even bother making it official. Terrible drug addiction, terrible alcoholism, incredible mounting and mounting of incurable diseases, that's origin is in illicit sex or intoxications, AIDS, hepatitis, and then the diseases born of just frustration and material anxieties like heart disease and cancer. This country, there's epidemic diseases everywhere. The world. Violence, crimes. There is no city in America, inner city, where you can just go outside at night and be safe. There's people who want to rob you and kill you. But to speak of the natural disasters that are going around due to cow slaughter, illicit sex, intoxication, so much gambling, second largest industry in the Western world is gambling, second only to illegal intoxicating drugs. There's earthquakes, there's cyclones, there's droughts, there's floods, there's terrible, terrible fires devouring hundreds and thousands of acres of forests. And men's mind becomes so crazy and fanatical and cruel. There's terrorism just rampant everywhere. But somehow or other, it's very symbolic that all over the world, the standard calendar is the Western calendar. Here in India, people sentimentally say Diwali is the new year. But how many do their business or their banking or anything else in life based on the Hindu Diwali calendar? How many even know what date it is today by that calendar? Can anyone say? You are probably the most pious amongst classes of men and women. But everyone knows what date it is by the Western calendar. It's December 31st. That means the whole world is being ruled over by this consciousness. So recently, someone said to one of our devotees, "What is this? You're having a celebration on New Year's. Hindus don't accept December 31st as New Year's. Diwali is New Year's." Such a sentiment. But that person, I guarantee, his whole life, domestically and every other social issue, is based around the American English calendar. Time is divided up into various segments. The Vedas go into very, very minute details. Lava matras, 1/12 of a second. Nimeshas, they're even less than that. And then there's seconds. These are grosser calculations of time. Minutes. Hours, days, weeks, fortnights, months, years, decades, centuries, millenniums. What a millennium is just a composite of so many seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, fortnights, months, years, decades, centuries. So really, in our calculation of the Western system, the millennium is the largest segment of time. But according to the Vedas, we have yugas. And then we have kalpas. What is a kalpa? 4,320,000,000 years. That's one kalpa, one day of Brahma. And Brahma has a night when he goes to sleep, which is also one kalpa. And then he wakes up another day, day and night. He lives 360 such days in a year and 100 years. Brahma's life is 311 trillion years. And then Mahavishnu inhales, and Brahma and everything goes inside, and then he exhales. For Mahavishnu, the 311 trillion year lifespan of Brahma is only a second. It's only a breath. So, tonight is New Year's Eve. And since we have to humble ourselves and confess, it is a fact, we are very much under the control and influence of this calendar. We might as well do something good about it. Bhagavatam explains, if you have a thorn in your leg, you can take another thorn to take it out. So throughout the world, it is a custom that people take New Year's resolutions. Did you ever hear some of the resolutions people take? But as devotees of the Lord, we will take any opportunity and every opportunity to increase the quality of our devotional service. Why don't we see what are the resolutions What are the prayers that the great Vaishnav Paramhamsas have taken in their lives? The best resolution to take is to vow with all of our might that we're going to follow the Shikshastakam prayers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our life. Madanam majanam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye mama janam anijan manishwari bhagatad bhakti rahoyti kitvai. I do not want wealth or women or prestige, followers, or even liberation. I only want to serve you birth after birth after birth, my Lord. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this way to constantly chant the holy names of God. The most intelligent resolution we can take on this day and every possible day is that we are sincerely going to take shelter of Krishna's holy name every day. It is Krishna's ultimate gift to us in the age of Kali. All we have to do is accept it through our attentive recitation. It is the essence of life in this age of Kali to sincerely surrender to the name of Krishna, to sincerely surrender to the consciousness of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees, and to truly assist the great acharyas in their compassion to the suffering souls who have forgotten Krishna. We should reevaluate what is our commitment, what is our humility, what are our motivations in our day-to-day activities. Life could end at any moment. How much am I really giving my heart to Krishna? How much am I away from all duplicity, dishonesty, and honestly, simply, humbly presenting our hearts to Krishna and his devotees through service? That is the question we should be asking. Krishna, he's so expert. For materialistic people who have hopes of greater and greater enjoyments in this world, this millennium new year is the ultimate event for sense gratification of the millennium. But we learn from our Guru Parampara that the enjoyment of material life is like sweet rice mixed with sand. It tastes good, but it's miserable. You can't stop eating it and you can't not eat it. How many of you have ever eaten sweet rice with sand? Sand makes you sick. It tastes horrible. But somehow mixed in it is all this rice and sugar and milk. So that is material life. So here is the ultimate event for enjoying of the millennium. But it's all mixed up with so much fear. The basic principle of material existence is fear. Because at any time we could suffer, we could die, our loved ones could die. So many catastrophes can come on our heads. And when we're happy, we're always fearing that that happiness would end. So here is the ultimate opportunity to enjoy with the ultimate fear mixed in. There's big, big, big parties. Chopati Beach. What to speak of London, Times Square in New York City. There are parties where people have to pay tens and thousands of dollars just to sit in a chair and eat some dead corpse. And see somebody dancing around and hear some music that's just breaking their ears. But at the same time, Y2K, nobody knows. It's a mystery. 3.5 hours. There is nobody on this planet Earth except the Paramatma who knows what's going to happen. Big governments, America, Britain, they have their National Guards, their FBIs, their CIAs, their military, their everything, police forces on high alert tonight. Big corporations have their big people on 24-hour standby. Nobody knows. Airplanes can be falling from the sky. Electricity, sanitation, no transportation. And when all this happens, what happens? That's when the dacoits become very, very excited. Then they start rioting and looting. And when people become desperate and fearful, and you've seen what happens when there's panic, when people are panicky and fearful and angry, they just lose their intelligence and people start acting crazy. That's what some people are expecting tonight. And some people say, actually, not much will happen, but honestly, I don't know. They've spent billions and billions and billions of dollars just to try to avoid catastrophe and disaster on this 3 hours and 28 minutes from now. And every city I go to, there's these big clocks with countdowns, millennium countdowns. And when people see it, they're simultaneously excited and fearful. So this is very symbolic. Nothing happens by accident. Krishna arranges the biggest supposed event for progress and enjoyment with the greatest fear of disaster. That is material life. In a nutshell. We have come to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple tonight, especially because we don't want any part of this consciousness. Bhakti Vinod Thakur explained, my Lord, I'm yours. Maro pi rakho bhi. You can kill me if you like, or you can protect me if you like. You have any right to deal with me in any way you please, because I am your servant. The devotee is happy simply to be in the association of devotees, hearing the glories of Krishna and chanting the holy name. Naturally, we want to take precautions, because as Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto explains, Vasudev is describing, it is every human being's duty to protect his life and to protect the lives of those who are near to him or her. So it is the duty of a devotee to protect their body and protect other Vaishnavas. So precautions are there, but ultimately we're not attached, because we know what real protection is. Protection of the soul. Whether we die today or tomorrow is not what's important. What's important is with every moment we have, we're using it for the highest purpose of remembering Krishna, by hearing his glories, by serving his devotees, by being faithful and honest and humble and chanting his holy name. And when a devotee chants and hears the glories of the Lord, he doesn't want the benefit simply for himself. He wants to share that benefit with all living beings. So we have come to have wonderful kirtan, Hari Katha, and Vrindavan Prasad. Not only for our happiness, but we are taking shelter of this process. And we want to chant so loudly and pray so intensely that the mercy of the Lord can permeate throughout the world, throughout the universe. Two of our very beloved senior godbrothers, His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj and His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, have both been going through very serious physical disease. So we should certainly pray for them, because such exalted devotees, they are contributing so much of their lives to spreading the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya throughout the world. The world needs spiritual leaders more than CEOs or politicians, and there's so few. We should always be trying to assist and pray for the well-being of such devotees. We should pray for Srila Prabhupada's great mission, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which naturally in this age is under attack, both within and without. That the pure standards that our previous acharyas established can be maintained and disseminated to the world, and that the devotees may be protected. We should pray not only for all humanity's welfare, but for all living beings, that they can somehow or other be touched by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. When Lord Chaitanya was about to kill Jagai and Madhai, Nityananda Prabhu explained to him, if you kill them, you might as well kill everyone, because in Kali Yuga, everyone is more or less Jagai and Madhai. So as Nityananda Prabhu prayed to Lord Chaitanya to give mercy to the most fallen, That is how Srila Prabhupada prayed, and that is the only qualification any of us have for coming to the lotus feet of Sri Radha Gopinath. His prayer that please forgive the Jagais and Madhais and give them your mercy. And before he left this body and went back to Vrindavan in the spiritual world, he appealed to us, what I have given to you, give to others. So it should be a day of prayer, sincere reflection, and rejoicing, because we have been given the mercy of the Lord through the opportunity to chant his name, to serve his devotees, and to distribute this wonderful, wonderful message to the world. It's also very interesting. The millennium begins on the last day of the December book marathon. What is the symbol of that by Krishna's arrangement? To give us a good understanding of what is our life and what is our mission. To give Krishna to others. So, should we continue? Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Or would you rather take prasad now? Huh? Since many of you are staying a little later, we won't be so concerned about time tonight.